الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in between, the one who gives life and death. We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praise is due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, the greetings that we hope to receive on the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, when Almighty God will bring all of his creation into his court, where there will be no jury, no lawyers, but God says that he will be the master of the day of judgment, that he and he alone will make the rules, and he alone will be the judge. So we ask that Almighty God greet us with this greeting when he brings us to his court to bring us into account for our deeds. We want the greeting of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessing and mercy be upon you. So I begin giving all praise and thanks to Almighty God, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his help, seeking his mercy. Ask that Almighty God keep us on a righteous path. We ask that Almighty God keep us on the path of those who came before us, whom he said that he was pleased with. I want to start with a few notes, announcements this morning in reference to our classes. They are back in session again, 7 p.m. Our Arabic class is on Tuesday, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And our Quran class is on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So these two classes are back to back. These are nice activities that we're having during the week. We hope people will continue to attend the classes. This is the only way that you can learn about your religion, is to gain knowledge, sit in these circles of learning, studying. This is what Islam is all about. It's not how much you know, but it's what you apply to your life of what you know. So this is why we have the classes that are available for everyone in our community. And they're also, the doors are open for non-Muslims. All of our classes are open for non-Muslims. And I will say that when non-Muslims do come to our class, they come with some very nice, beautiful questions. They listen. And we appreciate that for people coming out to see and hear for themselves what Islam is all about. Our weekly service, we call it Jumu'ah, the Jumu'ah prayer, where we meet every Friday at 2 p.m. These doors are open to everyone also, where someone will come in. One of the speakers would give a lecture, a 20, 25-minute lecture. Everybody will pray together, and then people go back to their work. In Islam, we don't have one day set aside for worship. Every day for us is a day of worship. So we hope that you come out and participate with us and enjoy the company, the learning. I mean, this is what we get spiritually high on, is learning, being around each other, learning the Quran, and gaining knowledge from each other. I want to give a shout out to a gentleman, Mr. Lonnie Persons. I want to say salamu alaikum to him. I mean, he has taken the Shahada. Shahada means the declaration of faith. He is my father-in-law, my wife's father, and I hope he's listening today, that we appreciate his effort that he's made. I mean, accepting Islam is a way and a method that a person has to use their intellect, their reason, to choose what they choose, what way they want to go in life, to believe in God, to do righteousness, and hoping that God Almighty will forgive us of our sins and grant us paradise on the day of judgment. So you're never too young and you're never too old. As long as you have breath in your body, you have the opportunity to accept the one God who created us and to try to submit your will to him. So I want to say assalamu alaikum to Mr. Persons, and I pray that Almighty God keep him on the path of Islam until he leave this world, and that he join us all together in this garden that God has described in the Quran so beautifully that we would never want to leave. And my lecture today, my topic today, is going to be about Luqman. Luqman, there's a title in the Quran that's named after him. And he's known for the advice that he gave to his son about parenting. So his son was young. Luqman was a wise man. He was not a prophet. But God says he gave Luqman wisdom, hikmah, wisdom. And so today my lesson is going to be about this 3,000-year-old parenting lesson. So I want to give another shout out to a little young lady. Her name is Anaya. I know she's listening this morning, and I hope that she listened to some of these beautiful etiquettes that Luqman is giving his son. She's 6 years old. I have grandchildren also. I hope that they're listening. This is for all children, really. But I want to especially give this shout out to Anaya, hoping that she will grow up and be one of the brightest minds of young ladies in our society today that push our programs and our agenda forward to make us the best human beings that God Almighty has prescribed for us to be. It's only when we submit our will to the will of God and understand that God has all the power and we have no power, that he is the creator, we are creation, that we are weak and that he is strong. And once you internalize this type of mentality, God mentions in the Quran, he describes the people who fit this pattern. He says, "Kuntum khayrun ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas, wa ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." He said, when people submit their will to the one God in this manner, God says, you are the best of people that has evolved from mankind. Because you enjoy what is good, you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in God. These are the best human beings. For this reason, you invite people to what's good in life, things that's going to benefit them. You forbid people what is wrong. You remind people that this is wrong. You shouldn't be unjust. You shouldn't deal with prejudice and bigotry and so forth. And then the last element that God mentions, he said, and you believe in God. You do all of this because of your belief in God. God says these are the best people that has been raised up from mankind. And so we ask that Almighty God keep us on this path and let us die in this state, because we are told the state that you die in is the state that God will raise you up in on the day of judgment. We're going to take a short commercial break, and then we will come back with some of the etiquettes that Luqman gave to his son.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And assalamu alaikum means may peace be unto you. This is a greeting that God tells us to greet each other. Assalamu alaikum. This is a beautiful greeting that we're wishing people peace and happiness. If you remember in the biblical scripture when Jesus Christ met with his disciples in the upper room, the Bible said the first thing he said to them was, "Peace be upon you." And Jesus didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic. So it was similar to Assalamu Alaikum. So this is why we greet each other with this beautiful greeting. So today's topic is dealing with a 3,000-year-old parenting lesson. And these topics that I'm going to talk about today, they never get old. They are more in need today than yesterday. If you understand what's happening with the youth today, parenting today, our social issues today, we're much in need of these beautiful etiquettes that Luke Mann gave to his son. Like I said earlier, Almighty God dedicated a whole chapter in the Quran titled Luke Mann. This is God. God is awarding him. Was Luke Mann a prophet? He was not a prophet. God didn't give him prophethood. He gave him hikmah, wisdom. And so Luke Mann, just to give you a little background about Luke Mann, they said that Luke Mann was a shepherd, a carpenter, a plain common man. He was from Nubia. He was an African from Nubia. But God gave him so much wisdom that people would come from all around just to question him and talk to him. And there are so many beautiful sayings that he would give his sons instruction. And this is what we leave our children. We try to leave our children not with a bunch of wealth and property and different things that they're going to just squander away. No, we try to put in them these type of moral principles that can help them navigate through life, to make them better human beings, to make them, you know, decent, wholesome human beings, that they make their decisions based on morality, not on what is going on in the society today, to try to instill type of faith in them where they will believe in God, believe that there is a God. This will anchor them in life to where they have something to reach back on when they come into difficult waters. When those storms come, they have an anchor that anchors them down, and that is their belief. If a child doesn't have that today, then they're going to just be blown around any way the wind blows them because they don't have any anchor. They don't have any base to turn to. You know, a long time ago, this is what the old people put into children. Our relatives, grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, they had a belief in God. They believed in something greater than themselves. But if you don't have that, you know, that's why so many children today are on so much medication, committing suicide, on drugs, you name it. Nobody can deny this. I mean, nobody can deny this. This is a natural fact. So what I wanted to do today, I wanted to read the first verse that God mentions in the Quran. And this is under the chapter Luke Mann. It's the 31st chapter in the Quran. If you have a Quran, turn to chapter 31. And God began to speak about Luke Mann in the 12th verse, really, where God mentions Luke Mann. And I just want to prep this with the verse that God mentions Luke Mann. And before we read the Quran, God says, "Seek refuge in him from the devil who is cursed." So we say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." I seek refuge in God from the devil who is cursed. And it says, "And we had certainly given Luke Mann wisdom. And we said to him, be grateful to God. And whoever is grateful for the benefit of himself. And whoever denies his favor, then indeed God is free of need and praiseworthy." So right off, God is telling Luke Mann to be grateful, to God. And whoever is grateful in this life, you will find that they will be successful. And whoever is not grateful, then what they are doing, they are denying the favors of Almighty God, because Almighty God wants us to be grateful. And so I want to now move to verse number 13. And if you notice in the Quran, when you read it, God is always going to refer you to history. They say that one third of the Quran is just history, where God is relating to you stories about the past so that we can learn from their lessons, people who made mistakes before us. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, it is reported that he said, the most wisest person is the person who benefits from other people's mistakes. That when you see a person make a mistake, don't do the same thing that person did to bring destruction into their lives. So this is the beauty of the Quran. It relates stories to us because the human being remember things by stories. That's why we used to sit down and tell our children bed stories when they're getting ready to go to bed at night. I mean, when we come to classes, we talk about stories. This is the way we remember things. It sticks with us. So this was the first verse that started out with Luqman. Just give you another little brief history about Luqman to show you that God does not look at our bodies, look at our clothes. He examines our heart. They said Luqman was a chubby type of person, dark skin, big lips, coming from Nubia, from Africa. These are the descriptions that really the West despise today. But God Almighty, He loves the hearts of people. He doesn't look at physical descriptions of people, whether He's going to award them or punish them. No, whether He's going to guide them or not guide them. He look at the hearts of people. And Luqman was a very, very dedicated human being, very dedicated human being to Almighty God. He believed in God. He didn't associate partners with God. He remembered God. He was grateful to Almighty God. And because of this, God gave Luqman wisdom. So let's look at verse 13. It says, and mention when Luqman said to his son while he was instructing him, "O my son, do not associate anything with God. Indeed, association with God is a great sin." So we have to prioritize these instructions that he's given his son also. You have to paint the picture of an old man, Luqman, who's giving his son instructions before he leaves this world. He's not writing out a will that's going to make him rich and give him property and make him famous. No, he's giving him instructions that can help him be a good human being and help him enter paradise one day. So what is the first most important thing that Luqman started off with? Number one, he told his son, do not associate anything with God. That's more important than anything else. Because associating something with God is the greatest sin. Now imagine a young boy listening to this, and his father is instructing him, don't associate anything with God, son, because this is the greatest sin that a human being can commit. It's greater than murder. It's greater than incest. It's greater than anything you can think of in life. It's greater than that. And God will forgive all sins except this sin if you die believing that God has a partner, that God is a part of his creation, that God is a Trinitarian God. God says if you die upon that, this is the only sin he would not forgive. So he's instructing his son not to make good grades, not to make a lot of money, not to become successful in life, because being successful in life is not the ultimate goal. In our world, being successful in life is realizing that your God is one and that we submit our will to the will of Almighty God. But you take many parents today, they spend thousands of dollars on sports, on music, on all type of lessons and vacations to try to make their children feel successful and feel good in life. And this is not the proper way that we should raise our children. Number one, we should be like Luqman. Instill the fear of God in a child. Let them know that there is a God. God do exist. And never associate partners with God. And then he's teaching his son gratitude. Allah says He gave Luqman wisdom and he made him to be grateful to God. Today we live in a generation where many children, they don't even believe really in God. I mean, parents today have mystified God so much with so many holidays of Santa Claus and Halloween and all of these mystical type of analogies that they put upon children, the Easter Bunny and all of these other things that mystify children's mind, pollute them with these ideologies, that there's something out there swimming around, or some type of spirit out there that they can't see, that they can't feel. And then you try to teach them about God. And so they include that idea about God along with Christmas, Easter, and all of these other things, the Easter Bunny. And they grow up to know that that's not real. And then they question themselves, then what about God? And so that's why we should keep our religion pure on the concept of the true God, the one who causes us to get up in the morning, keeping our hearts beat today, that's running everything in the universe, that he has all power. And this is the parenting tool that Luke Munn, may God be pleased with him, put upon his child, to be grateful, to be thankful, and you will always be a successful person in life. If we look at verse number 13 again, where God says, when Luke Munn said to his son, instructed him, do not associate any partners with him. This is the greatest and the most essential principle that he gave him. So number 14, we say, the Quran says, and we have enjoined upon man care for his parents. His mother carried him in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning is in 2 years. Be grateful to me and to your parents. To me is the final destination. This goes along with being grateful. Teaching his son to be grateful to who? To his parents. And we're talking about parenting lessons today. Parents are one of the most important essentials in our religion. You cannot go to paradise in our religion if you are hateful to your parents. And that's just a done deal. You can pray 10 times a day and give your money in charity or whatever. You can do all of the righteous deeds. But if you are hateful to your parents, disrespectful to your parents, we're told you will not enter paradise, especially your mother, because God mentions the mother in this verse here. He says, your mother, she carried you in weakness upon weakness, 9 months inside her abdomen. And she's carrying you with weakness upon weakness, swelling and suffering for you. And then your weaning, God said, is 2 years, where she's feeding you and breastfeeding you and caring for you. God says, be grateful to your parents. And also, we're taught in our religion, Islam, that paradise is under the feet of your mother. That if you want paradise, you have to respect your mother. A man asked the prophet once, out of all the people that I know, out of all the people in the world, who is the one that I should be more grateful to, more respectful to? And he said, your mother. He said, who after her? He said, your mother. He said, after her? He said, your mother. And he said, okay, who after her? He said, your father. 3 times he said the mother. That is how important being respectful to your mother. This is why Luke Munn is saying to his son, be grateful, be respectful to your parents. And in our religion, regardless if your parents are Christian, Mormon, Catholic, it doesn't matter. They say she doesn't even believe that there is a God. We still have to be respectful to them. We have to obey them. We have to be nice to them. Take them gifts. Do whatever we can to them, regardless of what they believe. This is what Islam teaches. The only time that God tells us that we cannot, for us to not obey our parents, if they try to influence us to worship something other than him, God says, obey them not. Now, how beautiful is that? So it is very essential in our religion. This is why we don't need a Mother's Day. We don't need a Father's Day, because Almighty God is telling us that if you want paradise, you need to be very respectful to your parents. And we know today that children today are very disrespectful to their parents. Number one, they don't never want to leave the house. Some of them have beards and they still living with their parents because their parents allow it. They don't want to work. Doing all kind of evil stuff right in their parents' house. Cursing their parents. drinking with them, and most of it is the parents' fault. Because this lesson is a parenting lesson for the parents also, that parents cannot be friends with their children. They have to be parents. How can you drink beer and smoke weed with your children and then expect for your children to obey you? How are you going to give advice to your child when you partying with them all night, drinking with them all night, letting them bring their girlfriend and boyfriends in the house to have sex with them? How can you give them any type of moral instructions and think that they're going to obey you? That's crazy. That's illogical to think that. You're not that child's parent. You're that child's friend. And friends are always going to disrespect each other. So that's why we have to be parents if you have children. That's why the society is so turned upside down today. Because there are really no parenting, no hardcore parenting in the home where you're setting examples. And parents are always going to use this phrase when they party with their children and drinking with them and acting crazy with them. And then they try to get serious and tell them something. They say, look, and the child say, well, you do it. I see you drinking, you doing this. And this most common statement that they make that makes no sense. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. That is so crazy. Nobody does what they want to do in this life. There are rules for everybody. It doesn't matter how old you are. That's just a cop-out that children don't even accept. So we could do a whole program just on the responsibility of the parents. And if you compare what Lukeman is telling his child, the child is going to respect what Lukeman is telling because Lukeman is coming from a religious perspective. A religious perspective, a parent's perspective, because this is the responsibility of the parents. So teaching our children by example is more important than trying to teach them by what we say. I mean, what we say don't mean anything to our children these days. It's what we do. If you want to leave a beautiful legacy for your children, then turn your life over to Almighty God. Be a moral person. Be a moral person where your child will see that you have limitations in life. I mean, how can a child follow their mother and father when there's no limits to what the mother and father will do? That's crazy. And that's why neighborhoods are so messed up. Cursing and, I mean, it's unbelievable what you hear that come out of these houses and these cars. The music that they're letting their children listen to. All these F words, profanity, all of this stuff is coming out of the cars with these little young kids inside there listening to that. And then when that child mimicked that language to someone else, how can the parent discipline that child when the parent have indoctrinated that child with that type of language, with that type of behavior? How can the parent discipline the child that goes to school and start cursing and using the F word on the teacher and other children, pulling knives out on other kids? I mean, that's the child is indoctrinated, has been indoctrinated with this type of behavior. This is not a righteous type of behavior. It is a behavior of destruction. And when we have the society like this, like what I'm describing today, the prison systems will always flourish. They will always flourish. They will always keep the lights on because they know these kids are coming sooner or later. The only way to avoid this type of mayhem, destruction, is for the parents, number one, to change their life and submit their will to the will of Almighty God. God says in the Quran, never will God change the condition of a people until they first change what is in their hearts. Never will God change the condition of any people until they first change what is in their hearts. You know, just saying I love God is not going to get you there. Now, just saying I love this and God knows what's in my heart is not going to get you there. No, it takes some effort. It takes some effort and it takes some sacrifice. And it takes some hard love with these children today. And that's why many of these children are killing their parents today. Killing them. Got them as captives in their own homes. Bars around their windows. Parents let some of their children live in their home, they have to lock their own bedroom doors at night. Think about that. They're locked inside of their own bedrooms at night because they fear their children. So this advice today from Lukman, man, it is valuable advice. And so I'm going to move on here to another verse in the Quran where Lukman is giving advice to his son. He said, but if they endeavor, this is with the parents again, if the parents try to make you associate with me, that of which you have no knowledge, do not obey them, but accompany them in this world with appropriate kindness and follow the way of those who turn back to me in repentance. Then to me will be your return, and I will inform you of what you used to do. So this is the end of the verse that's dealing with parents, where God is saying, be kind to them. Children, be kind to your parents. And parents, be parents to your children. Lukman also said to his son, O my son, indeed if wrong should be the weight of a mustard seed and should be within a rock or anywhere else in the heavens and the earth, God will bring it forth. Indeed, God is subtle and acquainted. So what is this telling the son? He's telling the son that God sees all that you do. See, this is putting the God consciousness in the child. He said, even if wrong should be the weight of a mustard seed, and should it be within a rock or anywhere in the heavens and the earth, God will bring it forth. So he's telling the son, if you are out of sight of your parents, God is still watching you. If you're doing your wrong in the dark, God is still seeing you. That you cannot escape anywhere in this world, even if it's a mustard seed hidden in a rock in the dark, God is still going to see it. So what is this telling the child? It's telling the child that my parents may not see me, but God is seeing me. My teacher may not see me, but God is seeing me. What I'm putting on these computers and on these messages, my parents may not know what I'm texting and putting out there in the social media world, but God sees it. And when a child have this type of what we call taqwa, God-fearing, this child will grow up to be a moral child. He's not worried about the police catching him. He's worried about making God angry at him. He's worried about God seeing him. So Lukman is telling his child, always remember, whatever you do, God is watching. And this is the type of God consciousness that a believer has to have in order to live a nice, beautiful religious life. Why? Because there are many things that we can get away with. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, if a man has a tendency of wanting to be go out on his wife, I mean, he can be successful in doing that many, many times. If he has no fear of Almighty God. A woman, the same thing. She can sneak out and do things. Children can sneak out and do things without people seeing them. But if you believe that God is watching you at all times, that this is what's going to hold that desire back, to know that you might be out of the sight of your wife or your husband, out of the sight of the parents, the teachers, the police, or whatever, but God is watching. Now, why is that important? Because it's God that you're going to return to. You might fool your wife and fool your children. You might fool them for a while. But God Almighty is the one you have to return to. And this is what Lukman is telling his son. Always be aware. Always be aware that God is watching and seeing everything you do. A child with this type of mentality will grow up to be a great moral child, a child that is honest, a child that doesn't deceive people, a child that doesn't try to exploit people, harm them, because they believe that God is always watching. And this is what we need too as adults. This is what the parents need. I mean, this is the foundation of belief. We believe in a religion that is an unseen religion. We don't see God, but we know that God exists. And he knows that we're watching, that he's watching everything. Not only watching, that he hears everything. That he understands the desires of every human being's heart. And when you have this type of consciousness in your life,
It's a beautiful thing. Now, are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. Even though we know God is watching sometime, the human being can still become weak, negligent in some things, and do wrong. That's why God says, turn back to him. Always turn back to him. And this is the life of a believer. Be conscious that God is watching you. If you sin, turn back to God and ask God for forgiveness, because God says he will forgive you again and again. Now, the other principle that Lukeman is giving his son, he said in the 17th verse, "Oh, my son, establish prayer. Enjoin what is right, forbid what is wrong, and be patient over what befalls you in life. Indeed, all of that is of the matters of determination." So Lukeman is telling his son a very important thing here. Establish prayer. Now notice that Lukeman didn't tell his son to just pray, because many people just pray. They pray when they want to pray. They pray when they need something. They pray when they get sick. You know, they pray when they want to fulfill a desire. That's when they pray. They call on God when it's convenient for them to call on God. Lukeman didn't say that. He didn't say, "Oh, my son, pray." He said, "Oh, my son, establish prayer." Establish prayer means that there is consistency now in your praying, that you are a person that consistently pray, whether you're having good times or bad times, whether you have money, you don't have money, whether you are well, your health is good, or your health is bad, you're always praying. And this is the beauty of Lukeman telling his son, establish prayer. Prayer is not just a simple activity. It is the foundation of discipline. This is the discipline in a righteous person's life. Children have to learn to pray. They have to learn to pray. They have to understand that they seek help from God through prayer. They have to see their parents pray first. The parents can't just say, "Go pray." No, the children have to see the parents pray, like people used to do a long time ago. I mean, most of you, hopefully you remember when you sat down at the table with your parents. Number one, they didn't start eating till everybody sat down, right? And then when everybody's at the table, the father would make the prayer, say the prayer. If he didn't say the prayer, then he could appoint some other child around the table, say, "Make the prayer for us today." That's beautiful, because that's letting the child know that there's someone greater than you, that you are giving thanks to for this food we're about to eat, right? This is the wholesome etiquette that people grew up on years ago that made them some of the best people of the best generations, because they established prayer. And this is what we have to do. Parents today, they are not establishing prayer with their children. You know, they're telling them to be the best you can be in school. Don't forget your workouts in your athletic world. Never miss school. Study hard. All of those things are good, but they don't trump prayer, because prayer makes all that happen. Because if that child does make bad grades, missing school, don't become the athlete that they want to become, what happens? They fall into despair. "Well, God didn't want me to do this anyway. There's no hope for me." Then drugs come in involved. All the other type of evil things come involved in a child's life because they don't have the anchor to attach themselves to. So Lukeman is telling his son a valuable thing: to establish prayer in your life. And we should ask ourselves, how often do we pray? How often? Just think, in a 24-hour day, how often do we pray? Now, I'm not talking about just walking down the street or driving your car and you say, "Thank you, Lord." I'm not talking about a prayer like that. I'm talking about a prayer where you stop what you're doing. You turning off all electronics, and you going somewhere where it's quiet, and you pray to your Lord in earnestly. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Well, you're cutting time out for your Creator. See, this is the life of a Muslim. Well, we're going to stop 5 times a day. Somewhere. It don't have to be in a mosque. It can be out in the park. It can be at the airport. It can be out in the field. It can be out on the sidewalk. But 5 times a day, somewhere, we're going to cut out that time. Where we're going to dedicate these 10 minutes or 15 minutes to thank Almighty God and pray to Him. See, that's establishing prayer. And God tells us in the Quran to seek help through patience and prayer. These are the two things. Pray for what you want. Pray for what you need. Pray for help. And be patient. You have to have patience. But you're calling on Almighty God, and God loves you to pray to Him. The prayer don't benefit God at all. It's not for God. When God told us to pray 5 times a day, that's not for Him. That's for us, because He created us. And He knows the medicine that we need. This is medicine. Prayer is medicine. Don't skip your medicine. It's been prescribed to you by the one who created you to keep the perspective in life for you good. God says, I have created the human being so that they may worship me. Worship doesn't benefit God. God wants us to worship Him because it's going to make us the best human being. It's going to make us that righteous, obedient human being when we pray. So if you're not praying, you should start. And I'm talking about a solid prayer where you isolate yourself, go somewhere where it's quiet, turn off everything, and communicate with the one who created you. The one who's keeping your heart beating every day. The one who have given you your eyesight, your hearing, your speech. The one who's feeding you every day. Doesn't he deserve 5 or 10 minutes a day throughout the day? Of course he does. And this is why Luqman, may God be pleased with him, told his son to pray. Be patient and stand up for Almighty God in justice. So we go to another verse here where God says, telling Luqman, and Luqman is telling his son, and do not turn your cheek in contempt toward people, and do not walk through the earth being proud. Indeed, God does not like anyone self-deluded and boastful. Now, what does that mean? Do not turn your cheek away from people in air. You seen people how they turn their cheek, like put their nose up in the air? I know you know what I'm talking about. If you don't you know what I'm talking about, just watch the news some nights. And when the president speak, watch his demeanor, how he turn his head to one way. When the reporters are asking him something he don't like, or when he's aggrandizing himself and admiring himself, he'll turn his head to the right or left with his nose up in the air. Luqman is telling his son, don't do that. This is being proud and arrogant. You know, there's only one destination for pride, and that's the hellfire. God says no one will enter paradise if they have a mustard seed of pride in their hearts. So this is one of the identifying marks of a prideful person. You know, their nose are up in the air. They turn their cheek to one side, away from the people. You know, like in disgust, disdain. You know, someone speaking to them and they turn their head to the right or left, like, you disgust me. You know, and they turn their nose up like they're better than them. Luqman is telling his son, do not turn your cheek in contempt to people. I mean, how beautiful is this? This is 3,000 years old advice that he's giving his son. Is it not relevant today? Social media have made people arrogant today. Arrogant. People are competing over all kind of things that brings about arrogance. They compete with likes on Facebook, Instagram. They compete in clothing. They competed with cars and houses. They compete in their appearances. What does this build inside the character of a human being? arrogance and pride. We don't want to deal with pride. We want to be humble. And those prideful people, God sometimes send them a calamity, you know, to humble them. Sends them a punishment sometimes to humble them. Well, maybe they fall on bad health sometime. And these same prideful people who was prideful one day, when they get that diagnosis or they fall on bad health, they become humble. But the nature of most human beings after they are humble and God grant them health again, they turn right back again to being prideful. So God is not impressed by how many followers we have. He looks at our heart. He looks at the humility of a human being, because pride destroys a person. And God, and Lukman also is telling his son, look at this other quality that Lukman is telling his son. Do not walk through the earth being proudfully proud. You know, there's a certain walk that people have to show I'm better. This is what Shaitan told God. And this is really what it's all about when you're dealing with pride. When God created Adam, and he told Iblis, the jinn, who was among the angels, he said, bow down to Adam. And he did not bow. The angels bowed, but he did not bow. And God says, why did you not bow? Why you did not obey me and bow when I told you to? And he said, Ana khayrun minhu. I am better than him. Ma khalaqta jinni, you have created me from fire, and you have created him from clay. And this is what he told God. Is this not being proud and arrogant? I am better than him. And this is the statement that is attached to every prideful person, that I am better than him. You see this in society today. I mean, in America today, we have to say that there's so much now division, racial discord, people being divided, turned against each other on every turn. Black against white, immigrants against people who live in America. This concept that we are better and we're going to make America great again. All of these other things just turning people against each other, which is creating violence, creating all type of corruption in society today, hatred. I mean, it's unbelievable what people spew out to other people, how people are treating other people, all because of this statement that the devil made. Ana khayrun minhu. I am better. I am better. Anyone who comes to you with some type of disrespectful type of language, that's criticizing you for who you are, telling you to go back to where you live or where you come from, and all of these other things, it all boils down to, I feel I'm better than you. What makes them better? What makes them feel that they are better? What makes them, that Shaitan told God that he's better because God created him from fire and he created Adam from clay. It can be many things. I'm an American, you from somewhere else. You know, my bank account is bigger than yours. I'm more educated than you are. Oh, you can mean many numbers of things. It doesn't matter what it is. What matters is the concept is wrong to feel that you are better than someone else based on the skin color of your skin or where you're from. We're told in our religion of Islam that the best among you are those who are more God conscious than the others. These are the best. Not by what you have, not because of your wealth or where you're from. God says the best among you are those who are more God conscious of him. This is the best. And because of this statement, you see billions of Muslims today, all colors, coming together, praying together. I mean, this is one thing that moved me toward Islam. Because how in the world can you preach unity and love in this world? And how in the world can you preach division and practice division and separate yourself from other ethnicities of the world and then preach that when you die, everybody's going to go to heaven together? No, that's a contradictory statement. No, if you can't practice unity and love right now in this world, how you going to do that? You think God is going to put up with that mess like that in paradise? No, paradise is a pure place. The garden is pure and it's wholesome. And only those who are pure and wholesome, where God has forgiven them of their sins and accepted their repentance, will they enter paradise. So this is the beauty in Islam, that God says the best of you, the one who believes in God, who acts morally, who forgives people, who love their neighbors, the one who obeys God, those people are the best. It has nothing to do with your bank account or anything like that. So try to finish up real quick. The next one is in this same statement where Luqman told his son, Allah, God does not like anyone or self-delude or boastful, people who boast, people who brag upon themselves all the time. And y'all, you know, there's somebody that we see every doggone day on the TV boasting about what they've done. They've done it better than everyone else. No one can do it better than me. If it wasn't for me, the world wouldn't even exist. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be breathing air today. I'm better than everybody. We hear it all the time. You can't even turn on any social media, any iPad, computer, whatever. You're going to hear, I'm the best. I've done this. I want my name on every building. I want my name on every dollar bill. I want my name on everything because I'm the best. I always vision people like this. When God takes their life, how would they be standing in front of Almighty God, the one who created them, after they had preached this type of admiration for themselves? How would they be standing in front of the one who judged them? Well, they don't have an audience. They don't have a political audience out there. It's only them and God. That's it. That's what I feel joy about. That's why I feel joy about the day of judgment, because God is going to make it right. He's going to make it right, and he's going to give justice to everybody for everything we've done, every harm we received, or we've harmed someone else. God is going to bring about the justice. So here in number 19, real quick, it says, and be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. Indeed, the most disagreeable of sounds in the voice is the donkey. I know you've heard a donkey sound before. It's horrible. And Luqman is telling his son to be moderate in your pace, the way you walk on earth. Don't walk proudly. You know, walk very humble on earth. And he's telling him to lower your voice when you speak. I mean, I know you've heard many people, their voice has to be the loudest. They have to speak louder than anyone else. They have to speak over everyone else. People don't like that. He's telling his son, don't be like this. Lower your voice. When you lower your voice, you're showing humility. When you lower your voice, people are more likely to listen to you when you lower your voice. When God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to teach Pharaoh that there's only one God, he told Moses, when you go to this man in Egypt to call him to the path of God, he said, lower your voice to him. Perhaps he might believe. This is what God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, the one who's claiming that he's God, the most evil of any evil person. He's the epitome of evil. God says, but when you go to him to call him to the righteousness and the belief of one God, he said, lower your voice to this man. Perhaps he might believe. And this is the instruction that Luqman has given his son. Lower your voice when you talk to people. No one likes to hear a loud voice. Lower it. Be respectful. Speak intelligently. Think before you speak. These are beautiful instructions that Luqman, may God be pleased with him, is telling his son. Now, I went through most of these instructions very fast today, but when we have classes, we take our time and we go through them much more in depth, because these elements here are very, very important. So I'm just going to recap real quick, without going into any narrative, the instructions 3,000 years old parenting instructions that Luqman, this African man, gave his son to live in this world. Number one, do not associate partners with God. This is the greatest sin. He told him, be grateful to God, because being grateful will benefit you. He told him to be good and dutiful to your parents, especially your mother, who bore you in hardship. He said, do not obey parents if they tell you to disobey God. This is the only exception. He said, remember that God knows everything, even the smallest deeds. You cannot escape the knowledge and wisdom of Almighty God. He told his son to establish prayer, because prayer makes you committed. It's the discipline. It's the medicine of life. He encouraged doing good deeds, and he encouraged forbidding wrong. That means stand up for justice in life. Stand up and speak out and act out against injustice. He told his son to be patient over all what befalls you, because when you start teaching the truth and inviting people to the oneness of God, you're going to receive a lot of backlash, a lot of criticism. So he's telling his son to be patient, whatever befalls you. He said, do not turn your face away from people in arrogance. This is being prideful. Avoid pride and looking down on other people. He said, do not walk on the earth with arrogance, because God does not like arrogant people. He does not like boastful people. And he said, be moderate in your walking. Carry yourself with humility and balance. Avoid extreme behavior. And lastly, he said, lower your voice. Loud, harsh speech is disliked. He said, lower your voice, because lowering your voice, it is a sign of humility and it is a sign of intelligence. We ask that Almighty God help us to be able to fall within the realms of this beautiful instructions. And we ask that Almighty God that he help us and guide us and forgive us like he forgave those who came before us. And we ask that Almighty God keep us on the straight path. We ask that Almighty God give us a good in this life and good in hereafter and save us from the hellfire. And we ask that Almighty God help our children, to guide them, protect them, to keep them out of harm's way. And we ask that Almighty God do the same for the parents, that the parents will submit to him, submit to his will, so the children will submit to the parents' will. We ask that Almighty God save us from the hellfire and grant us the paradise that he has described so beautifully in the Quran. Rabbana atina fidunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarika asmuka wa ta'ala jiduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Subhana rabbika rabbi izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.